Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
If there is no Christ, there is no Christmas. To know Christ means to know Christmas. And see, they don't know Christ. They just got this N-O Christ, and that's their mindset. And I want you to understand something about this. I saw an interview this week with a pretty famous person, Phil Robertson. I like watching him. He just kind of speaks to me, especially when he's in a duck blind or a deer blind. But this week, he let some thoughts come out that are exactly what I have been saying and teaching and talking about. There's an outward approach to the rising tide of radical Islam. There is an outward approach. There's an approach going on that we're seeing outwardly in our society. And this approach is towards radical Islam. But see, there's a rising tide also of anti-Semitism around the globe. And let me just say, there's a rising tide of anti-Christianity going on. And we're going, are you kidding me? This behavior going on. Let me tell you, it's been going on a while right here in America. It's been going on a while right here. He talked about five ideologies of the 20th century that all want to remove Jesus. And we have seen this. If you've been around, and I've heard Grandpa talk about this time and time again, a man served in the Second World War and would talk to the Germans and would ask them questions about what was going on. They thought they were doing the right thing. Come on, here we go. The people of Germany thought that the Nazi regime, the stuff that was going on with Hitler, was going to be their salvation of the oppression that was going on. But understand something here. The first ideology that I want to talk about just briefly this morning is Nazis and Hitler. You have to understand that neither of these, or none of the ideologies I'm talking about, they have something very in common. There was no Jesus in any of these. No Jesus, no Christmas. We're getting ready to celebrate Christmas. Come on, our country's celebrating Christmas, and we'll spend more money this one month than we do the rest of the year combined on retail. What's the deal with that? Christmas. No Christ, no Christmas. The Nazis, no Jesus with Hitler and the Nazis. They say, well, they served God. They didn't serve the God of the Bible. They didn't serve the God of the Bible. No Jesus with Hitler and the Nazis, and here was their mindset, to go and dominate the world, and they were famous for what? For murder, for killing. Let's go right back and understand that are we not seeing that time and time again in our world right now? No Jesus means they're famous for wanting to conquer the world and they're wanting to kill. Conquer the world and kill. Keep those in mind. No Jesus. So the second ideology, Shintoism. And many of you may not know a lot about that because we don't study much about it. But after the Nazis, this came along, and they just have the same exact thing. No Jesus, famous for wanting to conquer the world, and then not only conquer the world, but they wanted to kill people. Those are the two things they have in common. You go to the next ideology of the 20th century, and it's communism. As a kid, I remember this. As a child, I remember thinking, oh, the communists, this is not good. And the response that I had was correct because I realized they didn't want Jesus. I understood that with that ideology from the 20th century. I understand that they didn't want Jesus, so we can't have communism here in America. We can't have that. We can't have that because with communism is no Jesus, and they want to conquer the world, and they want to kill people. Kill people. All right, so we get all three of these. We understand that. Now we're seeing in our world the rise of Islam. You can call it radical if you want. The radicals and just the plain Islam, they all teach from the same word. So Islamist terrorists. It's an ideology under the disguise of religion this time. They want to conquer the world. And they want to be famous for what? Murder. Are you saying, you take Jesus out and you get people who want to conquer the world and be famous. You just, when Jesus is gone, we got a problem here. Now, here's what I want you to understand. That was just four. Well, Pastor, what about the fifth one? Let me just tell you what the fifth one is. The ideology that we're facing right now in America, political correctness. Or atheism, agnostic, you can call it what you want. They want to keep Jesus out. That ideology, you watch, will want to conquer the world and will want to kill people. You say, well, what I call it humanism. But being politically correct, I don't see us wanting to kill people. Let me just tell you what has happened over the last 30 years. 55 million of our unborn have been killed, of our own. If they were all productive members of society, the 50 million that could be right now, members of our society, do you know we wouldn't have a problem with Social Security? We wouldn't have a problem with national debt? We wouldn't have the problems we're seeing right now had we not killed 50 million, 20% of our own. Let's go right back to know Jesus, conquer the world, kill people. You don't think that what's going on in our world right now, this ought to be the best Christmas you've ever had, and we ought to be proclaiming the name of Jesus everywhere. Everywhere. See, we're still dealing with two of these, Islam and political correctness. America is now experiencing at an all-time high no Jesus. When you have no Jesus, morality, come on church, morality disappears. When there's no Jesus, morality's gone. And I want you to know eventually, if you keep Jesus out of the scene long enough, freedom also disappears. Freedom also disappears. Now, I'm not a doom and gloom preacher. It may sound like it right now. But I want you to know, Christianity is called to love God and love your neighbor. Islam is submit to Muhammad and kill your neighbor as long as they're not doing what they want you to do. See, the whole reason I'm preaching this today is without Jesus, church, we don't have any hope. You say, well, what's happened here? We're just not thinking as Christians. We've allowed time and time again Jesus to be taken out of everything. It started in 1962, prayer out of school. Just a 22-word prayer that they said every day, let's just get it out of school. What's happened since 1962? Our education system has failed miserably. You can't take Jesus out and expect death not to occur. When Jesus is gone, death occurs every time. And so we take prayer out of school. In 1980, the Ten Commandments removed from school. I'm going to talk more about this on Wednesday night. But I want you to understand, no Christ, no Christmas. If there's no Christ, there's no Christmas. If there's no Christ, there's no life. If there's no Christ, there's no freedom. If we're going to live free, I'm telling you today, the church is the only one preaching this message. And the church has got to stand up. The church has got to, they got to stand up. The thing that we have allowed is we have allowed, whether intentionally or not, we've allowed Jesus to be removed. And I'm done. Where I'm at, I'm going to fight. Right here, you say, well, that's not that close to home. Baxter County, I just saw it on the news this week, not allowing the nativity scene up. Why? Because we have to live according to the Constitution. The Constitution says we're to be free from religion. We're to live different from that, freedom from religion. No, that's not what it says. They've got this thing all messed up. They got it all messed up. It's the freedom from the government saying that we can't exercise religion. We've got to have the freedom to exercise it wherever we are. It will never be the government's job to shut religion down. But that's what we're seeing at an all-time high, right in our own counties and courthouses here in Missouri. Luke 19:10 sums up the entire Christmas story in one sentence. You might say that it's kind of far-fetched what I'm teaching on today, but I want you to understand this is not far-fetched at all. It's right here. We're removing Christ every time we turn the corner. And I want to make sure our church is not guilty of, oh, it's Christmas again. Good grief, I hate this time of year. What? Let's not be guilty. Let's not be guilty of removing Christ unintentionally. Well, I didn't mean it like that. Well, then don't say it, because people can receive it like that. And before long, he is removed. Luke 19:10, the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. That's the whole reason God came, to seek and save those who are lost. He came to seek and save ISIS. He came to seek and save those who are lost, and they're lost. Matthew 1, verse 21 says he'll save his people from their sins. Church, Jesus had the responsibility to redeem me and you. Aren't you glad he took it? What's your responsibility? Are you taking it? Jesus took his. He had the responsibility to purchase our salvation with his own life. It's hard for us to comprehend the complete picture of the incarnation of God. It's hard to get a hold of that. The embodiment of a deity, the incarnation, the embodiment of a deity or a spirit in an earthly form. The union of divine human nature and Jesus Christ. That's what happened. And we don't fully grasp the whole meaning. I get that, because we have nothing to compare to. It had never been done before. But you're not going to make the Nazis come up and make this all work. You're not going to make Shintoism come up and make this all work. Communism is not going to bring life and freedom. See, that's not going to happen. And let me just say, the United States of America is not going to bring life and freedom. Jesus and Jesus only is what brings life and freedom. That's it. And if we're not careful, political correctness will end up being the next ideology that removes Jesus. And I'm not going to be guilty of it. Turn to Matthew. Let's just read today. Over the next few weeks, here's where we're going to be. And church, we're going to be here, and we're going to love it, and we're going to love it. Have you ever told your kids that? It's what we're doing, and you're going to love it. I don't have that authority in the lives of people, but I love it, and I'm going to walk it out, because this is where we've got to be. We've got to know Christ, and not N-O Christ. We got to K-N-O-W. We got to know Christ. Chapter 1 of Matthew, verse 18. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man, didn't want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child, she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife, but he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. The story of Christmas, don't ever get tired of hearing it. Don't ever get tired of hearing it. So we just should never grow tired of hearing the Christmas story. Watching the Christmas plays, watching our kids at the manger playing Mary and Joseph. I mean, don't get tired of that. Praise God, Jesus came. These decorations all pointing to Christ. Every time you look at a nativity scene, or you have something out there in our world that, whether or not it's just a red cup or it has something about him on it, it's pointing to Jesus. It's pointing to, we just did that for the holiday season. The holiday season points to Jesus, praise God. See, we get so caught up on arguing everything, let's just point to Jesus in everything. Every time you look at a nativity scene, every time you see a decoration, I just don't know. And we're going to yell and argue about having a nativity scene on a courthouse, and we should be, but how many Christians are living it out and have one in their own yard? See, that just on and on. When we don't know Jesus, we can't know Christmas. 2 Timothy 4:3, "The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. Every one of us here, and probably over the last 3 days, have enjoyed some time with a very good friend called a remote control. Sitting on our easy chair, enjoying some time watching teachers that we have recorded or that we are looking forward to teaching us ideologies. Well, that's not really the way that... See, I don't think that this has happened because we intended to sit down and be taught different. I think society has become so engrossed with removing Jesus, but not removing the blessing. They like the blessing, they just don't want Jesus. They go hand in hand. They go hand in hand. We are wanting 30 seconds of television. We're wanting an hour of television. We're wanting a time at Silver Dollar City. We're wanting a time here or there to tickle our fancy, to entertain me. I just want, see, we have a hard time sitting under the word and listening to a preacher that's just standing up there for 5 minutes. Oh, I just don't know if I followed a little bit of that, but about halfway through, 3 minutes and you've disengaged from the word of God. How does that happen? Because we live in such an entertainment-soaked society that we have a hard time sitting under the word. We'll have a hard time sitting and watching the children's play without ridiculing it. Boy, so-and-so, they didn't have their lines. That wasn't good. And I'm not talking about here, I'm talking about all over. Somebody, wait a minute here. We're pointing to Jesus. Now, I understand most of the plays that you're going to watch outside of here will point to Santa Claus. And I get that. But understand that you as a Christian point everything to Jesus. Point it to Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that you can't enjoy Santa Claus. What I'm saying is don't forget Jesus in the excitement of Santa Claus. This scene that you're going to watch over the next month, Christmas everywhere, is what it's all about. And I love that our society hasn't taken it all down. Now, I understand that they have perverted it. I get all that. But that's where the church needs to step up, and that's why I'm preaching today. Why? See, the world is celebrating Christmas in one way or the other. Whether they want to admit it or not, anywhere in the world you go, you just say the year. 1965, 1876, 2006, 1921, 2015, the year of our Lord. See, the whole dating system revolves around the birth of Christ. The whole dating system, the birth changed the whole world's calendar. His birth changed the whole world. Not the calendar don't circle around Joseph Smith, around Muhammad, around Reverend Moon's birth. It so centers around the birth of Jesus. No one since Jesus has affected the world the way that he did. No one. We're not celebrating the birth of a great leader. We're not celebrating the birth of a great teacher or a great historian. We're not celebrating the birth of a phenomenal prophet. It is he who saves his people from their sins. Mine, my sins. Thank you, Lord, that you saved me. See, we celebrate other birthdays. We celebrate President's Days. But nobody goes to the bank on Christmas morning and says, oh, I forgot, today's Christmas. But how many times have you been to the bank on another day? I didn't realize today was a President's Day. It just doesn't compare. This baby in the manger is the entrance to God into this world. All these other great leaders, all of them could not do what this baby did for me. What baby Jesus did. See, and I didn't need a good idea. I didn't need some great thinkers. I needed someone who could save me from my sins. And so for the next month, let's know, K-N-O-W, Christ. And let's let others know that we know Christ. See, he'll save his people from their sin. Verse 21 of Matthew 1. You got to always know that. He's the only one that came and the only one that could have came. A virgin conceived by the seed of God, born as a man in sin, however, outside of sin. What do you mean? See, he did what you and I couldn't do. Praise God, he sent his son so I could be who I am today. That's got to be, you're thankful about this. Only Jesus can turn you and I's stinking life into one that's a thrill to live. Only Jesus. Jesus Christ, the eternal God and creator of this world, became flesh for one reason, and that was to save us. So you don't get tired of hearing that. Oh, I'm about to go to sleep. I just don't know. Church, without Jesus, there'd be no Christmas. It'd just be like any other time of the year. There'd be no special Sunday school programs. Oh, I got 100 parties to go to. How many of you got a bunch of parties over the next month? Wow! Or, oh, another party. Without Jesus, you wouldn't have no party. No lights, no decorations. Some of y'all be all right with that. I got it. At least the ones having to put them all up. There'd be no wrapped presents under the tree. Kids, y'all like presents? How many of y'all about Christmas? I'm okay with some presents. There wouldn't be none without Jesus. Without Christ, December 25th would be just like March 15th, August 12th. Nothing special to most people unless I just said your birthday. Just think, if you took the name of Jesus out of the Bible, the story of the incarnation out of the Word of God, what would you have left? You'd have some nice stories, some history, some words of encouragement, but it wouldn't really be any different than any other novel. God wrapping himself in flesh, coming as a babe in the manger for our salvation makes the Bible different from any other book written. The Word washes me when I read it and I hear it. The Word gives me strength, gives me direction. The Word tells me how to overcome sin by being saved and accept what Jesus did and live a life. See, but without Jesus, it couldn't do that. Without Jesus, we have nothing worthwhile. Come on, church. Without Christ, there's no salvation. Without Christ, there is no hope of glory. Without Christ, there's no peace, no joy. There's no rejoicing. Without Christ, there's no celebration. And come on, there's no healing. Without Christ, none of that's possible. Without Christ, there's no deliverance from addictions. There's no there's no deliverance from carnal spirits. There's no songs. There's no worship. There's no godliness. There's no water baptism. There's no Holy Ghost in feelings. There's no speaking in tongues. There's no excitement about life and life more abundant. Without Jesus, there's nothing. But with Christ, come on, we got it all. We got it all. We have no reason to walk out of here sour. We've been saved from our sins. We have life and life abundant. We have the answer to the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And we stomp him under our feet. See, there's nothing that he has that we don't have access. He don't have access to anything more than what you do. You got Jesus. You got Jesus. Let's not let Christmas slip away this year. Let's not let it slip away this year and not let everyone that we come into contact with know that we K-N-O-W Jesus. And if they're going to know Christ, then they just need to open up for business on Christmas Day. Because there's no Christ, there's no Christmas. But we know K-N-O-W Christ. Therefore, we can K-N-O-W Christmas, and we've got to know him everywhere we are. Come on, we got to start knowing him in our schools. We got to start knowing him in our courthouses. We got to start knowing him in our homes. But it's going to start right here by knowing him in your heart. And be careful what comes out of your mouth over the next month. Let's honor him in all that we're doing as we prepare for the greatest Christmas we've had yet. How about it?
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.